The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Can't believe you're trying to convince me that me engaging with the Jehovah's Witness was not me doing a nice thing. I think it was very nice. And I didn't want to give that young man a negative experience of, look, you're going to go door to door and they're going to be mean people, but not at this house.
Elaine, we have a problem. Well, what is it?
But you weren't a nice person.
Yes, I was a nice person.
You just listened. You didn't do anything other than listen to their spiel.
Wait,
and then
I'm
reject
out.
Them as they left.
What would have been nice, sir?
You're getting kicked out.
Kicked out? Why?
Well, there's been a number of complaints.
Yeah, like what?
Joining them as a Jehovah's Witness.
Accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior?
Correct.
Already done that.
Well, like last Thanksgiving, you bust up a jewel thief.
I didn't know who he was. That's why there's a buzzer. What else?
Well, apparently the week after that, you buzzed up some Jehovah's Witnesses and they couldn't get them out of the building.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
In the standard XY coordinate plane below, three of the vertices of the rectangle are shown. Which of the following is the fourth vertex of the rectangle?
Shut up, nerd.
You were right, Gabe.
Just a,
she couldn't let it go.
She was playing it so cool. I don't care what I get on this test.
Is that your competitive nature?
I just felt like maybe I need to know what I'm getting myself into. Maybe I shouldn't go in blind. Maybe I should just, you know, take a gander at some of the questions that perhaps I would be facing when I take the ACT tomorrow. For example, in the figure below, Ray EF was constructed starting from rays ED and EG. By using compass D and G, they were marked equidistant from E on rays ED and EG. The compass was then used to locate a point F distinct from E so that F is equidistant from D and G. For all constructions defined by the above steps, the measures of DEF and GEF are equal.
See, I was doing math in my head.
LMNOP.
Is that Pythagorean theory?
No.
I tried.
A squared, B squared.
But I was doing a little math in my head. And if you just guessed, so you get that. What, the highest you're going to get is a 36, right?
That's the highest score.
That you can get. Not that's that I'm going to get. Let's just
no, 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 no.
36 for a moment.
36 is the highest score.
There's an A, B, C, D, right? So there's four.
Mm-hmm.
On this one, there's A, B, C, D, E. This is a practice test that I ended up taking
Okay, but there's
night.
Only four, right?
Maybe not. I don't know.
I think there's five.
That sucks. Because if there was four, you take 25% of 36, which is roughly what? Josh?
I thought you were doing the math.
That's where I got to.
9 is 25% of 36.
And you only
got
to get a 14.
He's the smart one here, remember?
You only got to get a 14.
Yeah.
So your chances are pretty good you're going to do better than 9 by guessing
but
to
I
get
answer
to the
these
14.
Questions. That was the point of doing the practice test last night, was just to see if I would be better off guessing than actually trying to answer them.
Let me ask you a question, though. If you didn't have to stay for the entire test, would you just start guessing at some of them?
If at some point I had to leave. Now,
yes.
We've done the math also. I also had to do the GPS. How far is it to get from this place where the test is being held to this place where my daughter's dance recital is being held? Can I make it there if I'm going 65 miles per hour headed in? No, I'm kidding.
Train A leaves at this time.
What is the greatest common factor of 42, 126, and 210? These are the sample test questions that I did last night. In quadrilateral, PQRS below, sides PS and QR are parallel. What is the value of X? Like, do you remember when you have a quadrilateral, the angles? Because I had to ask Chase. I was like, hey, buddy, what do the angles have to equal up to? He's like, 180. I was like, okay, cool.
So you are peppering your
15-year-old,
soon to be done with his freshman year
Correct.
Of high school,
yes.
on math questions.
Correct. Yes, that's exactly right.
So at what point did you switch from, oh, I'm cool, I don't care what I get on this, Craig Karmazin can't tell me I have to get higher than 14?
After Joshy posted the clip on social media yesterday, I got a little hivey. I got the hives, okay? And I was like, oh, crap, now more people are aware of this. Now I got other people outside of these bozos who are going to be checking my score. Maybe I should invest a little bit, minuscule amount of effort into just seeing what the test questions would be like.
All right, so now that you're invested, what's your goal?
20.
Okay.
There's got to be a, I mean, with the world of fake IDs and fake this, and there's got to be a way to print out what you're going to get in the mail telling you what your score was. That is the avenue I'm going.
Oh, so you're skipping tomorrow or Saturday altogether.
Yes.
And then you are creating a fake score sheet.
Forging a document.
To distribute amongst.
So I know people that have fake vaccination cards. You can get all this
on the dark web?
Yeah, I don't think it's.
You think he knows how to navigate the dark web?
You can get anything in China. Okay?
Or.
I'm just saying.
Or, and hear me out, Chinatown in New York or Chicago.
Yes.
Fake bags, fake wallets, fake belts, all of that stuff. I'm sure they have fake vaccination cards as well.
The only question would be, what score would I give myself to make it realistic?
When you're paying for your fake document to. Are you paying higher for the different numbers? Like, if you're paying for a 17, is it a different, you know?
But
like,
if I came in and
am
said...
Am I charging you if I'm distributing these?
No.
Oh, I want to make it look like I got a 26. All right, that's going to cost you more than the 22.
What number would I have to put on that fake document to make it believable? Because if I put a 33, probably not going to believe it. Yeah,
you can't go any higher than 17.
I'd take it.
we know you would.
Scholarship. You only need a 12?
The standards for you meathead athletes are so low.
Jen, it's called path of least resistance.
Exactly. And I tried to go path of least resistance on this ACT for almost 2 years, guys. For a year and a half, I was like, I don't have to take it. I don't have to take it. I'm exempt. I have an exemption from taking the ACT, even though I finished last in the company-wide Cover 5 contest. And then they kept hounding me and hounding me and hounding me. And then they started attacking my character. Oh, were you scared? Were you chicken? Oh, you don't pay up on your bets?
Oh, so you're Marty McFly.
So then, exactly. Nobody calls me chicken. So yes, that's what ended up happening. Then it was, we're not making any bets with you. You never pay off your bets anyway. And I'm thinking to myself, I always pay off my bets. And then I was like, well, wait, there was that one time that I lost Cover 5 and I never took the ACT. Darn it!
Would you do Cover 5 again?
Absolutely not. Would you do Cover 5 if you knew that the penalty was taking the ACT if you lost?
Yeah, of course, because I don't pay up.
Chewy has a long list of bets that he has not paid up on.
There's the other side
of it. In 15 years.
You just have to be confident enough, or I guess it's confident, or what's the other word? Ambivalent enough?
Don't give a rip.
Yeah.
Ambivalent enough. Folks are weighing in saying, it's been a while, but the sum of the angles of a quadrilateral should be 360. Yes, I did not explain that as well as I should have. I was asking him, there were two opposite angles, and I was asking him what it was. What does the line have to equal, guys? A line is 180.
Yep.
Okay, that's what we were working off of. Thank you for everybody who has weighed in on the studio texter and the YouTube page, letting us know that we were off on the quadrilateral degrees.
Joshy, can we put this on the poll?
Yep, sure.
Would you rather have book smarts or street smarts?
Why do you have to have either or?
Because my brother, who is brilliant, is the biggest moron on the planet, and I would not want to be him at all.
But he's smart, you're saying?
Extremely.
But he can't handle himself he's a moron. In social situations.
No, I'll give you an example. Had a car, nice car, because he was smart. Drove it into the backyard, changed the oil in it, drained the oil into the ground, right? No pan under it, whatever. Just on the grass in the backyard. And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Because I had to cut the grass. He's like, well, oil comes from the ground. I'm just putting it back in it. That is a moron.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore.
Okay. Dad. I am taking street smarts all day long.
Thought he'd want to be with his family.
All day long, street smart.
I don't think it has to be an either or. I think that the best is a combination of both, to be book smart and street smart. Because you want to talk about social settings. Let me just get this out there because it is weighing on my mind. Yesterday, I'm at the range. My husband is teaching me how to golf. Okay? And I've only been there about 3 or 4 times. It's not a lot, right? We're still at the very, very, very basic.
101.
Okay? Yeah, 001, right?
Fair.
And there's a gentleman in the bay next to us who rolls up, and when I mean ambles. So he was an older gentleman.
Yeah.
With his Milwaukee Country Club bag.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought for sure he was going to pull some wooden clubs out of the bag, but he didn't. That was shocking to me.
You got any hickory sticks there, sir?
And the very first thing out of his mouth, I swear to God, he doesn't even put the ball on the tee. He looks over at me and says, "The face of your club is too open." I'm going, I barely know what the face of the club is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they haven't even gone over the pieces of the club or the parts of the club. We're just trying to figure out where to put my foot in relation to the tee and then where my grip is and rolling one arm under the right boob and the left arm over the left boob. Okay, that's where we are, buddy. And I said, okay. And he goes, and he looks at my husband who's teaching me how to golf and he says, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, I mean, that's true. However,
I was like, what? In what world is that an acceptable social interaction? I didn't ask for your opinion. I didn't even watch you golf and go, oh my gosh, you're really good. How'd you get good at golf? And then give you the opportunity to weigh in. You're just weighing in on my golf swing? I've been in the range 4 times.
So here's the thing about golfers, Jen. We're kind of bleep holes.
Douchebags.
It's a really tough thing to crack, especially like you, a woman at a range. Like if you ever go without Dario, the amount of random swing tips you are going to receive because somebody thinks they know better because you're a woman and you don't know what you're doing playing golf. It's embarrassing. It's truly embarrassing.
Yeah, but part of that is the old person.
Yes.
Right.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Because I was telling you guys earlier, I went to the store the other day. My daughter goes to Ohio State. Wore an Ohio State shirt into the grocery store, and this old guy's like, "Wow, you're brave wearing that in there." And I'm like, "What are you going to beat me up?"
Could he have? Maybe.
Could he take you?
If I was in a straight jacket,
concealed carry.
But I'm like, just shut up. You know, why do you just mind your own business?
Well, isn't the my kid goes to that school the get out of jail free card regardless? Couldn't you theoretically? And again,
I think the biceps
I could,
are the getting a jail free card
the beat
here
you
for this
was
guy.
Much better.
You seen the arms on my guy? Over? Yeah.
Couldn't you theoretically show up to Camp Randall, which I think ostensibly people would say is the only place that you cannot or should not show up to?
It would be the one place where you would be brave to wear it. Actually, brave.
Sure. And as I mentioned to you earlier, brave is in inverse relation to size. You know, you're not brave if you're 6'8", 300. I don't know how much you weigh. I don't want to get into the weights. I told you, I'm not good at that.
Started with 3. Started with 3.
I'm not good at that. I never know how much a man weighs.
Why? Do people get on people that wear opponents' jerseys to Camp Randall? Because I would be like, you better tread lightly because there's a chance you might get boat raced here. Like Alabama coming to town, yeah. I wouldn't say a word to any of them. Right?
Yeah. You're saying because Alabama's better than Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing you say is, okay, you beat us on the scoreboard. We're going to beat you in drinking after.
Wait.
And before.
Wait. I just had something that popped into my head.
Okay.
Somebody asked me the other day what roll badge is. And I was like, I don't know. What is roll badge? Is there a roll badge anthem or call or something that Badgers fans have been using?
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of it either. Roll badge.
No,
so
I've heard of roll
pie. She said that her niece goes to Madison and she puts on all of her social media posts, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, hashtag roll badge. And I was like, I literally have never heard that before. What do you just take Roll Tide and the first half of Badgers and you smooshed them together and you created a hashtag? Are you looking it up now?
I am. I'm just searching roll hashtag roll badge.
Is that is it because they're playing Alabama this year and they're stealing a little thunder?
From what what I can gather here, it's just like a social media thing. Like, I don't think anybody does this in real life.
I'm seeing it on a trucker hat. I'm seeing it on a sticker. I'm seeing it on, you can purchase
merch.
It.
Well, so right, it's Redbubble, though.
The that's first just... thing that pops up is from the official Wisconsin Tennis announcing that they had beaten Washington 5-2 on February 10th, 2019. Boom, hashtag roll badge.
And I'm seeing something here, 2021, from the Wisconsin Badgers football team that says roll badge. It's a picture of three of the guys mugging for the camera. I didn't know roll badge was a thing.
Apparently we used hashtag roll badge when we announced that Wisconsin Badgers volleyball is going to be a part of the Good Karma family.
So this is a thing. Roll badge is a thing.
Apparently it's
okay,
a thing.
Okay, all right. Well, I will tell my girlfriend that I saw at gymnastics the other day that it is a thing. I was just unfamiliar with it. Can we put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll? Are you familiar with the catchphrase or the hashtag roll badge? I don't think it's gotten the traction that maybe the Roll Badge camp is hoping that it's gotten.
What does that mean?
Roll Badge?
Yeah.
Same thing Roll Tide does.
Yeah.
I kind of
don't like it because you're stealing somebody else's gimmick.
The roll part, right?
Correct.
Yeah, but a tide rolls. A badge doesn't roll.
Well, I mean, it can.
I guess.
What does a badge do? Claw?
Kill?
That's nasty.
Kill badge? I kind of like kill badge.
Kill badge would be better.
Yeah, it doesn't go as well on a hat.
It does. But it sounds like kielbasa, which also is a Wisconsin thing. I think we can make the parallel there. 800-990-3776. Have you heard of roll badge before? Where did it start? When's the first time you heard it? We do have Jason Wilde coming up next. We'll talk to him about the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love. And this idea that Mike Tannenbaum threw out there yesterday on Jason's show about maybe Jordan Love should play out the season and wait for an even bigger paycheck next year. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always great to check in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde about the green and gold. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys?
Last day of school for your gang yet?
Yesterday was. Today's the first day of summer vacation.
That's so exciting. I had to show the girls on the calendar that they had 80 days of no school. They were very confused. What do you mean? Well, you have summer vacation. You have several months off. How many? What is that? What is it? Several months. Okay, here's the calendar. 1, 2, 3, 4. You don't go back till August 27th. So that was a big revelation for them to understand that. Speaking of school, Jason, you know I'm taking the ACT on Saturday, right?
I have heard, yes.
Do you have any advice for me to take the ACT?
When in doubt, answer C.
Is that true? Is that good advice? Or is that just...
No, I don't think it is.
We were trying to figure out if it is better to guess or to skip. Joshy said it's better to guess.
Yeah, ACT, you fill it out. And when humans create tests, C is statistically the best answer. But when it is something as big as the ACTs, I don't know if it applies.
Okay, well, we're going to put an ask out this morning to our loyal listeners, teachers, friends, people who have been in that space, if they have advice for me for taking the ACT on Saturday morning. Jason, let's talk about the green and gold for a moment. You had Mike Tannenbaum on your show yesterday who made an interesting suggestion. Before we hear your reaction to it, let's hear what Mike Tannenbaum thinks could be a possibility for Jordan Love and his contract situation.
In terms of the number, if I was him, I'd play it out this year and walk in and say, hey, I want that number to start with a 6 next year. Because, again, given his age and his ability, I think time's on his side. So I don't think if I'm Jordan Love, I'm in a rush to get anything done.
That's stupid.
Jason, what do you think?
I love Chewy. Yeah, I would never be that blunt, but I can't imagine doing that. Like, here's the, and again, I get it, you know, Jordan Love's ceiling has yet to be established, and the early signs based on the final 8 regular season games and the two playoff games, except for that last drive, you feel really good about how good he's going to be. And I think you should if you're a Packers fan. But if I'm Jordan Love, like the idea of playing for $11 million when let's forget about what Mike Tannenbaum said for a second. When the possibility is there that even if you get lowballed and take the lowball offer, you're getting $150 million guaranteed, right? Like, let's say he's not going to start with a six, as Tannenbaum said. Let's just say he got the exact same contract as Jared Goff, which I don't know. I think most people, again, I have no idea. We're all guessing. Everyone is. But let's just say he gets that contract. That is life-changing generational wealth, right? $170 million guaranteed for Goff. That is what, 16 times more than $11 million that he'd be getting paid this year? Like, you can't, there's so much risk involved in playing for only $11 million. I would think that it would be way too perilous and quite frankly malpractice to play and bet on yourself to that degree when you don't have a second contract already earning interest in the bank. Like, I've said this a million times, I don't think Davante Adams should have played the 2021 season on the last year of his deal. I think he should have been disgruntled like Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and Tua and all these guys. I mean, withholding your services is the only piece of leverage you have. And in 2021, he could have done that. You know, he said, I don't want to pay the fines. That's money I've already made. I don't want to give that up. And that's fine. But he took an enormous risk when he then ends up with a $140 million contract from the Raiders and thought he might get that from the Packers. So what I'm saying is I understand where Mike Tannenbaum's coming from. Yes, he could definitely, if he did that, reset the quarterback market in a huge way if he has the kind of season that a lot of people expect. But I think from Jordan Love's perspective, Dewey is right. It would be stupid to take that level of risk when you know, he is a first round pick of the latest generation, where when you're a first round pick nowadays, you don't break the bank like, you know, these first round picks of yesteryear, when, you know, they're getting $50 million before they've even played a snap. So I think Chewy, while blunt, is 1,000% right. I think it would be stupid.
Well, just I mean, set aside the season-ending injury, go back to Baker Mayfield when he hurt his shoulder and played like absolute garbage and went the other way. I mean, what if Jordan Love hurts his shoulder, plays through it, plays horrible, you know, and then takes himself out at week 13? Then it creeps back in like, well, is this guy any good? And then you're signing for what? Just stupid.
Exactly.
So, Jason, my next question is, you know, Goody spoke the other day. He said, we want to get it done before training camp. We all know about the cylinders. Am I right? Or silos.
Silos.
We all know
cylinders.
About the silos.
Atta kid.
Right? We got LaFleur, we got Goody, and we got Russ Ball. Can Goody go into Russ Ball and say, give him $56 million? Or is this Russ Ball? No, this is my silo. I'm driving the bus here. How does that work, you think?
Yeah, no, I don't think Russ Ball, even though he has a lot of responsibility and is on the same plane, quite frankly, my understanding is that Goody would have that say with Mark Murphy being involved in that. Like, that's where Mark Murphy, having them all report to him, would be the final, you know, big like stamp that he has slam on the desk on the contract that says approved. Boom. I think Russ Ball has all the autonomy for going through the process of negotiating. But ultimately, if it gets to the point where, you know, they're at a stalemate and Love's guys are saying, look, we're not signing for less than $56 million, then we are going to roll the dice and take Tannenbaum's advice that he said on Wilde and Tausch. I think then that would be where Goody and Murphy would have the conversation of, all right, well, are we willing to do this to get this done? Again, I don't, you know, the problem with all of this is, like I said, the guesswork involved, like, we all, because we're so close to this team and covering it or fans of it, whatever you may be, and because of what we saw from Love last year in the second half, like, we all just are, and I am part of this. I am not setting myself away from this. We're all probably caught up a little bit in the Love-a-mania, right? I mean, I brought this up yesterday after we got done talking to Tannenbaum. Like, don't you think everybody in Philly was talking about Jalen Hurts this way? Like, wasn't everybody in Jacksonville after they got to the playoffs last year looking at their quarterback the same way? Like, and then you brought up Baker Mayfield. Like, there was a time in Cleveland where Baker Mayfield was the toast of the town. And then he wasn't. And so, I don't think that Love is going to backslide significantly. But the idea of giving him more than Lamar Jackson, who has two NFL MVP awards, maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. Maybe there's the way the negotiation is going is, hey, we love your guy. We're happy to give him $50 million a year average, but he hasn't achieved what these other guys have, and he shouldn't get more than some of them just because he's the next guy in the pecking order. Again, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I do think that maybe we are a little carried away with how good he was for eight games, and I keep saying this, but every $1 million that the Packers avoid paying to Jordan Love can be funneled into paying the wide receivers, because unlike during your era, they are going to have essentially all their skill position players. This is great that they got all these young guys growing together, but they are all going to hit the market or hit their final year of their contract. 2022 class is going to hit it together, and then the 2023 class is going to hit it together. And you better have the resources to pay the guys you want to keep, unless you are going to take another enormous risk and say, well, there's just so many of them. This is something Tannenbaum said yesterday, too. There's just so many wide receivers. We'll just replace them. We don't have to pay any of them. And again, that is also a very risky proposition.
But, I mean, they would have to start backfilling that probably next year, Jason, right? I mean, they didn't take any pass catchers this year, which makes sense, because you have the four guys at wide receiver you've drafted over the last 2 years, not including, obviously, Bo Melton. You have the two tight ends that you drafted last year, so that there's not really a spot for someone this year. But if you start going into next year, I think you do have to start looking a little bit towards the future, because even though you hit on all these guys, The track record of the four drafts before that is pretty poor for wide receivers and tight ends.
Correct.
And obviously those things are going to even it out. All I'm saying is not every wide receiver you take is going to be a hit as you start to lose some of these guys.
Right. I mean, I brought this example up yesterday. Like, the Tennessee Titans traded away A.J. Brown, right? And while I understand that he did not get the Philadelphia Eagles a championship, A.J. Brown was critical to that Super Bowl team, right? I mean, he gave Jalen Hurts a proven commodity. I know their other wide receiver is a really good player too, but he was huge for Philly and for their young quarterback. And the Titans thought they could replace him with Treylon Burks, and he has been a huge disappointment in Tennessee. So not every pick is going to be Jaden Reed. Sometimes it's going to be Amari Rodgers. So, yeah, I agree. The danger there is real. But, again, I'm not saying don't pay Jordan Love. Like, you know, Tausch gives me a hard time. Like, you know, I think I found a way we can get Bonds and Griffey and we don't have to give up that much. I think we found a way to pay Jordan Love, you know, $40 million a year like Daniel Jones, and that way we got more money to spend. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you have to make sure that you protect yourself. It is there. Responsibility as the GM, as the chief negotiator, to try and get him as inexpensively as possible.
Sure, but
so you have more money to spend elsewhere.
Hasn't that time kind of come and gone, though, Jason? Like, they took the gamble of not locking him up earlier, and then Goff comes out of nowhere, gets $53 million. If the Dolphins do something wacky and give a similar contract to a Tagovailoa, like, what are you going to do? Like, then you have no options.
So do you? So you're 1,000% right. You know, as it turned out, not giving him the fifth-year option backfired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reasoning behind it, the best we can do is make the best decisions we can with the information we have at the time. And Goody, even though those – and remember, let's rewind to that. There were a bunch of us, myself included, who were assuming, hey, they're just going to give him the fifth-year option. He's the next guy. If he pops, he's getting paid $20 million, which is not overpaying for the position. If he stinks, okay, you paid him $20 million for 2024, and you're overpaying because he didn't play well in 2023, but then you can move on from him. He's a free agent after the year. Instead, they did this half-measure contract because Goody said, and I quote, of the fifth-year option, that's a lot of money to pay a guy who hasn't played. And that's the guy who drafted him saying that. But in retrospect, it locked them in where they couldn't do an extension during the course of last season. And if you remember what they did with Rodgers in 2008, Ted signed him to a six-year, $63 million deal, $20 million guaranteed in signing bonus form after seven games. Now, after seven games last year, I'm not sure the Packers would have extended Jordan Love. But you don't think in late December there'd be reason to believe that this year would be the time to sign. That's my Counting Crows reference. That would have been the right time to sign him? Absolutely. And you could have done it for less. But their hands were tied by the fact that they'd extended him and they couldn't do another extension within a calendar year.
All very interesting, Jason. And we will, of course, keep paying attention to see when this thing gets taken care of with Jordan Love. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
Not as interesting as your ACT adventure. So I look forward to the updates on that. Is there going to be live streaming of you taking the test?
I wish. There is no cell phones allowed. So there's no cameras, no cell phones, no recording devices of any kind.
Taking this with a bunch of high school juniors?
Yes. Jen will be next to high school juniors with her number two pencil and her calculator.
Well, again.
Well,
oh my God!
Do you have a calculator? Yes. We don't know if she's located
Chase
a calculator yet.
Has assured me I can use his Texas Instrument yesterday, Jason.
Is he charging you for it?
He should. Let's just keep that on the down low. We don't need him having any harebrained ideas. But yes, in fact, he could charge me for coaching as well. Jason, I went from Jay Cutler don't care to I kind of care. I took a couple practice tests last night.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, didn't surprise any of us.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
All right. He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Adam makes an interesting point on the talk and text line. I want to get to that as we continue this conversation about Jordan Love's contract and this idea from Mike Tannenbaum that maybe he should hold out. Just play this year. Show that he can be the guy. Perform at an elite level and then demand $60 million the following season. We'll continue that conversation next.
You know how much I love golf. You know how much I love baseball. And you can combine both at X-Golf at American Family Field. Great setting, overlooking left field. Bernie Slide right there. Unique food and beverage options within X-Golf at American Family Field. And now you can book your sim time and get your game tickets. Play golf while the game's going on. Just go to the Brewers single game ticket website. Also know this year, if you make a hole-in-one playing a regular round of golf at X-Golf at American Family Field, game day or not, you get to go down Bernie Slide. You and somebody else can go down Bernie Slide for that ace. Find out more at xgolfamfamfield.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days at Burgers?
That was very condescending.
Let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it.
Come on.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, You know you can find that on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. You can obviously download the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast on Apple or Spotify. It is brought to you by our friends over at Celsius Energy Drinks. So Mike Tannenbaum, we're going to recap this. Yesterday was on Wilde and Tausch, and he had a really unusual suggestion for how Jordan Love's camp should handle this contract extension situation. Take a listen to Mike Tannenbaum yesterday.
In terms of the number, if I was him, I'd play it out this year and walk in and say, hey, I want that number to start with a 6 next year. Because, again, given his age and his ability, I think time's on his side. So I don't think if I'm Jordan Love, I'm in a rush to get anything done.
Well, look, Mike Tannenbaum was a GM in the league for a long time. Maybe it's his hope that maybe guys will do this thing where they wait. It seems to me like it would be irresponsible of Jordan Love's camp to say, we're going to be even better this year. Jason brought up anything could happen. There's injuries risk. There's the team could underperform, and then they attach that to Jordan Love, and then they can lowball him with a different offer. But I found this interesting from Adam in the 920 on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. He said, holding out for $60 million when he's only making $11 million means he would have to play an extra 5 years at that new price to make up for what he lost this year by waiting. Now, that sounds like an ACT question to me. That sounds like something I may have to solve for X on Saturday.
I hate problems.
But is he making a good point there? I mean, if he makes $50+ million this year with this contract, that money would have to be made up at some point. And he's saying the difference of the 10 every year is how he would make that up.
Yeah, look, I think if you want to wait, to me, that's just the Packers are lowballing you. They're trying to take advantage of that situation. Like, oh, you're not going to wait. You're not going to take a gamble. You're not going to take that risk on yourself if the Packers are going to continue to lowball. And then if they continue to lowball Chew, don't you just at what point, if they're just the Packers like, no, we're only going to offer 45. I don't know if that's true. My guess is that ultimately that they come together at a number higher than that. But if the Packers and Goody are like, no, you're only getting 45 a year, at what number do you just say, okay, I'm going to take the gamble on myself?
Well, a few things here. Mike Tannenbaum was a GM. He was never a player. He doesn't know what it's like to be a player. Two, is there really a difference between, I know this sounds stupid, is there a difference between $200 million and $170 million? No.
Yes, obviously, from a numbers standpoint. No, from an everyman standpoint. This is like, you know, if you win the lottery, is there a difference between winning the lottery and having to pay the taxes on it? Well, yeah, there's a lot of money that you're leaving on the table, Chew.
There is, but okay, on to my next point. They want to keep this as much as they can out of the media. Would you agree? They don't want to start a cat fight or whatever kind of fight in the media. Where, if the Packers' lowball number is obnoxious, if I'm the player, I use that. I say, hey, you know what? Let's keep this civil. Let's not make it contentious. But if I'm going into the start of the season and your offer is $45 million, I'm going to let the people know how low your offer is.
Yeah, that's the point. His camp certainly would let that out.
I don't want to start a fight, but you're kind of forcing me to. And then, I mean, if they're not coming off their 45, I would throw out, well, what if I hold out? What if I hold out? I mean, that number is so obnoxious. You look at all the other guys, and my guess is Trevor Lawrence may have signed by then, Tua may have signed by then. And if those guys are getting close to Goff and they're off in 45, I would advise him to sit out. I would.
So would you, okay, because again, that's where this becomes interesting. Again, if the Packers are sitting on some sort of lowball number, have no idea if they are or not.
Yes.
But if they are, you would say sit out versus take that risk on yourself. I don't know if players think like this, Chew.
Yeah.
Because if his camp goes, you know, leaks it to Schefter or, you know, whoever.
Sure.
Oh, man, they're only offering $45 million. And then he plays that out. Whenever he gets that 60, I don't think anyone's going to blame him. Like, oh, I think the fans look at it as, oh, he bet on himself because the Packers lowballed him, bet on himself, played really well.
He kind of took the risk last year. He took the risk last year.
He did.
He took it. So why take it again?
Right, which is what we've been saying. That's why it's time for the Packers to pay the Piper. Gabe, I'm interested in your point in this, though. 45 is a number we have thrown out there.
Yeah.
What's the highest number that you would throw out there and still consider it lowballing Jordan Love based on the market and based on what we think his potential is?
50.
You know what I really think 50, the hang-up is?
50 would be
I know,
deal.
But you know what I really... I think the hang-up more than the money...
Clauses?
I'm telling you. It's the franchise tag. They don't want a Dak. They don't want a Dak. They want to keep that card in their pocket because we fully anticipate Love to be good, right?
Yes.
So he's going to sign a 4 or 5 year deal. He'll be... He's still getting another big kick at the cat if he plays well. And just look at Dak. Dak has so much leverage right now.
Mm-hmm.
So much leverage. Jordan Love's camp, I'm sure, wants the same. No, you can't franchise tag me ever. That's a lot of leverage. So I think that, along with the money, is the hangup. So, I don't think it's 45, like you said.
Yeah,
I think it may be 50. And I think the Packers probably are willing to meet at Goff, or maybe a little below. But they do not want to release the franchise tag because they know he's going to get paid again.
I mean, if you just give him the Goff money, and Shefty made this point yesterday, once Dak makes that deal, this whatever that Goff contract is, whatever the Love contract is going to seem like a bargain. It's going to seem like a bargain. So just, I don't understand why we don't have this done already.
Let me ask you guys this. Would you take, and this is betting on yourself, would you take 50 and do away with the franchise tag?
You're saying he puts it in his contract.
That you cannot franchise tag. That's betting on yourself.
So that's, you're sacrificing the three per year. So roughly, if it's a five-year contract, $15 million for the opportunity at the end of that to have the most leverage you can possibly have as a player.
So let me put this out there on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Do you think the Packers have any interest in letting Love play this season out at his current price? If, in fact, they are quote-unquote lowballing, which, again, this is not, this is just a theory that has been put out there. Mike Tannenbaum suggesting that Jordan Love maybe play under his current deal this year, which is $11 million. Bet on himself. He looks around and says, we got a hell of a team here. We're going to do some crazy things. Deep playoff run. They're going to have to pay me a number that starts with 6 the following year when his contract actually expires. Do the Packers have any interest in that scenario? This is a choose-your-own-adventure book. Do the Packers have any interest in turning the pages and having it end up that way? 800-990-3776. We have to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we do want to continue this conversation. Plus, so much to come in the second hour of the show. Jordan Love talking this week and saying that this is the closest the team has ever been since he's been a member of the Green Bay Packers. And Chewy and Blammer had a breakup that lasted 8 years. We still have to get the backstory. I guess it has to do with meat. In the second hour of the show. Stick around.
It can mean anything.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you, Chew, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you love sports betting, you have got to make your way over to the Sportsbook at Potawatomi Casino Hotel. It has everything a sports fanatic could want and more. Get the ultimate experience with a dozen self-service betting kiosks, seating for more than 200 people, a broadcast booth, first-class bar, and a new restaurant called The Kitchen. Plus, they've got that giant 2,000-square-feet video wall so you can watch all of your favorite games. Hey, there's a big game going on tonight. Maybe make your way down to Potawatomi Casino Hotel and have a seat at the brand new sports book. It is a new era of sports betting at Potawatomi, so get in on the action. Look, this is just another layer. Negotiations are tricky because both sides want to feel like they got, at least in part, what they wanted. But I find it interesting, this idea of lowballing, because Gabe, you threw out the number 50. Like, 50 would be a deal. Is that a lowball?
I guess it's not necessarily a low ball, but I think that would be a steal. I think that would be a deal for the Green Bay Packers because I think the market value of Jordan Love right now is higher than $50
million. And Chewy, you mentioned what's the difference between X number of million and X number of million. Mm-hmm. But when you were in the league, it was important to you at one point to be the highest paid tight end.
Yeah.
Like, that's where these players, I think, and their agencies are coming from. They're just sitting there going, well, what's the market? Oh, that's what he got? Well, we think our guy is better than him. And it doesn't even have to be extremely better. It doesn't have to be egregiously better. It could be marginally better. And you can say, we're going up and over. And that's where Jordan Love's camp probably is. And if the Packers have not been willing to meet them at that number, is there any incentive for you for him to play out this year on the $11 million?
No, it'd be crazy. But let's remember this, too. Agents have ego as well. Right. Mm-hmm. So if they sign what's perceived as a bad deal, that agent gets beat up. Right. So the agent has face to save here, too, because he wants to go out and find the next Jordan Love and be like, hey, look at the contract I got. Love, sign with me. So that's into play as well. No, he'd be foolish. He would be foolish to play out this year with the belief of breaking the bank next year. There's too much risk that goes along with this. And my guess, I really believe it does get done. My thing is, and you guys tell me your thoughts, do you want to get this done before Trevor Lawrence and Tua?
Mm-hmm.
Then the Packers would probably be smart to do the same as well, wouldn't they? I mean, because of Lawrence, it's more Lawrence. And I agree with you what you said earlier. If Miami is delusional and they give Tua what Goff got, then they're screwed.
Yeah.
Then they're screwed.
But you tried to play it out. You thought, okay. And it kind of backfired. The second that Goff got $53 million per year, all right. Gig's over.
Well, that's when you think they should have gone pen to paper.
Yep.
Because the rest of the market could continue to explode.
Correct.
And they know. They know. Because the Packers talk to the Dolphins. I'm telling you, they talk to the Dolphins. And then they talk to Jacksonville. And then the agent is like, well, Trevor Lawrence agent calls Love's. And like, where are you guys at? What are you doing? They kind of work in concert with one another. So they kind of know. Like, I knew when... And me wanting to be the highest paid was my second big deal.
Yeah.
I kind of knew where Wesley was at, you know, and then Wesley signed. And then I'm like, no, I want a dollar more than him just to say I was the highest paid. So they kind of know. They're all working in concert together.
Letting people sign more contracts ahead of you leads to the Devontae Adams issue. If we remember, DeAndre Hopkins had this insane extension that – The Packers were trying to say that's not a real extension because of the terms at which it was set. And Devontae Adams was saying, no, that's the number. We have to go over it. Mm-hmm. So by allowing DeAndre Hopkins, you allow... So the Dolphins are totally capable of that. The Jacksonville Jaguars are totally capable of something where you look and you go, well, the Packers are going to try and tell you, no, that doesn't count. And Jordan Love and his agents are going to be like, yeah, it does.
But the problem is that the league did
negotiating
allow. But the league did allow for that with the Deshaun Watson thing. Mm-hmm. We have all been in agreement that just because the Cleveland Browns paid Deshaun Watson funny money, the rest of the league was like, well, that's your bad. We're all not going to fall in line with our quarterbacks at this point. And they didn't. They deviated from that. They allowed that to be the anomaly, the exception to the rule out there. Couldn't they do the same? Couldn't teams and won't teams like the Packers try to do the same if, like you said, Tua Tagovailoa signs a crazy deal with the Dolphins, or as we talked about with Adam Schefter yesterday, Dak Prescott signs a crazy deal with the Cowboys because he has all the leverage in the situation.
But owners don't like rogue deals. Remember Rodgers back in the day was like, I want a fully guaranteed contract, and Jerry Jones goes absolutely crazy?
Yeah.
He's essentially saying, you can't do that, Packers. What are you, insane?
But then he did the insane thing of the no...
of the new franchise tag.
No franchise tag, the Dax deal, which, again, maybe that's the thing that quarterbacks want to do going forward. The problem is if the Dolphins do something crazy and match the Goff deal, well, now you have the Goff and the Tua deal.
Yes.
You know, so it just gives Love more data points of... Well, this guy signed for this. Yeah. This guy signed for this. Is not an anomaly anymore. This is what quarterbacks. This is what quarterbacks getting paid. You have to put.
But this is different than Daniel Jones because everyone knows Daniel Jones sucked.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Daniel Jones things, you can take one of those things and say, "Who? Everyone knew he sucked. You panic. He did a bad deal. Tua doesn't suck.
Yeah.
He's not. We don't think as good as Love.
I remember the simple days of the Jordan Love contract extension starting at 4 years, 160.
I do want to get to reaction very quickly before we move on. Weighing in saying, I'm not an insider, but I did hear rumblings that they offered him $48 million a year out of the gate, which is as close to a low ball as you can go. Gabe nailed it. Now that Goff signed $50 million, the low ball offer, that is it. Love shouldn't take less than $55. Steve weighing in saying, Tannenbaum is a moron. He couldn't keep a job with the crappy Jets or the Dolphins. Seriously, this guy's got to stop making comments. Can we please move on and get to Chewy and the Blammer?
Is that next?
Me, 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 me